1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3 this evening. Before I read them, though, I just want to share something I saw in a little article. I was reading some news this afternoon, and it was a little article where they were quoting President Trump, and he said, "Thanksgiving is under attack and it's war." And it really is. As we're going to get into the message in a moment, we have a lot to be thankful for as Christians. And our nation has a lot to be thankful for. Because we as a country have the freedoms we have because of it's based in a large part on the principles contained within God's Word. On the importance of every man being created in the image of God. And of the fact that every man has a right to make choices in his relationship with his Creator. Most people don't even know the history of our country, and most people don't even know they have a recollection of the Pilgrims and the Puritans, but they don't know men like the Baptist minister that was being persecuted by the Puritans because he was a Baptist. And he was driven from the Plymouth colony in that area of Massachusetts and driven out, and he went and founded what is today the state of Rhode Island, but I doubt that anybody would know that. Roger Williams was his name. And he said, "Men have the right to choose how they will worship God, and the scriptures are to be the foundation of the way we worship him." And he believed in a personal relationship with the Lord, and believers baptism is a mark of salvation, and that infant baptism was not biblical, and he was persecuted for it. But it's because of him and what he did that we have really much of the freedom of religion that we have in our nation. But it's been totally turned on its head, where today, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you're one of the most persecuted people for your beliefs in America. And it shouldn't be that way. But yet it is. I was thinking of just a few years ago when I was at 45th class reunion for my high school, how many of those, quote, kids, they were old people then, like I am, but how many of them, they were so worldly in their attitudes. Yet when I knew them in high school, they weren't that way, at least that bad. But yet our whole culture has drifted from God. And I was talking to T.A. McMahon, and I was just talking to him about our fellowship here, and just mentioned we don't have a lot of people. And he says, don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Because I bet you the people that come love the Lord, want to serve the Lord, want to grow in the Lord. But he said, "I think you're going to see the churches that are big don't have a foundation in the truth of God's Word, nor do the people really encourage people to grow in the love and admonition of the Lord." I got an email this last week to show you really the direction that much of the church is going. And it was a couple that had moved into the area, and they were looking for a new church, and they'd gone to another church in town, but they said, "Well, the message was pretty good, but the music was much too traditional, and we were wondering what kind of service you have." And I wrote back and said, "It's very simple. We just do what the Scripture tells us to do, and that says meet together for a time of prayer, for singing of spiritual songs and hymns, for the reading of God's Word and the expounding of that Word and teaching of the Word, and for fellowship. And beyond that, we don't do anything." And I said, "If you had to peg us into a category, I guess it would probably be traditional, albeit some of the songs we sung tonight weren't, quote, traditional hymns, but they were godly hymns. And they had a foundation of biblical truth to them, and you could take that hymn book and line it up with Scripture, And even though they were more in the line of, they were written in the, some of them in the 70s or 80s, they still had a foundation of truth. Much of the current modern contemporary Christian music has no foundation. He wrote back and said, "Thank you for getting back to me so quickly, but we are progressive in our beliefs." And in other words, they probably won't be coming here. And to echo T.A.'s words when I called him, I knew what he was going to tell me, and I knew what the things were, but sometimes you just want to be encouraged that you're really doing the right thing. And he said he gets people writing from all over the country saying, "Do you know where we could go to church? Because the music isn't what it used to be. The preaching isn't what it used to be. The people's attitudes aren't what they used to be. The beliefs aren't what they used to be." And as you look at this Word of God, what's changed? The Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So why are we so different in so many of our Christian churches and what we would call as Christians today? You'll hear, if you go and listen to speakers that are talking about creation versus evolution, you'll hear them talk about the fact that when they go to speak at colleges, they oftentimes don't even get a platform to speak if they're young earth creationists. And even I was listening to one man talk, and he said, even the Christian colleges in America today that believe in a young earth creation, you can probably put on one hand. And then we wonder what's happened. Well, we've got something to be thankful for. It doesn't matter what everybody else believes or what everybody else thinks, but it's what our relationship is with Christ. And that's what we've got to be thankful for. And this evening I want to look at chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, because John is telling us as Christians four things in these three verses that mark our faith. That mark our faith, and it's nothing to do with us, but it's all to do with Him and what He's done in us. Let's just read these verses, and then we're going to look at them quickly. And then following them, we'll just take a brief time after we take the recorder off, and we'll just share with one another what we're thankful for. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that You would just help us to focus on You. Help us to come this evening with a heart that's filled with thanksgiving and praise because what You have done for us. That's filled with the depth of Your love as we return to You the love that You have expressed and given to us through Jesus our Lord. And Lord, help us to love because You first loved us. As we studied earlier, Lord, help us to be light and salt in the midst of darkness and in the midst of a world that is rotting in their sin. And Lord, help us to reflect Your character and to be faithful and true. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, there's four things in these three verses that talk about what is the mark of our faith as Christians? What is the mark of our faith? If you had to list, what makes people know that I'm a Christian? What shows my faith as far as what I believe? Who do I have faith in? What do I have faith in? We all have, everybody that lives has faith in something. I mean, you go out when we came here tonight, there's these benches and you sat down on them, and even though they're old and crickety, you still sat down because you believed that that bench was going to hold you and wasn't going to collapse under your weight. When we take a trip and we maybe get on an airplane, we get in the airplane, we believe that that pilot knows how to fly the plane, and we believe that that plane's going to get off the ground, and it's going to land again, and it's going to get us to where we're going, or we'd never get on the plane. But those are simple things and deal with everyday things that we're involved with, and there's a number of things if you look at every day, and we're not paralyzed, and we don't even think about what we believe and what we think is real and not real. We just go through life doing it. But the thing, when it comes to our spiritual condition, our spiritual relationship with the Lord, we need to examine what is the mark of our faith and what do we really believe in and what makes us Christians. You know, John starts out here and he begins by answering a question that he really raised in the last verse of the study of last week, and that is, what causes us to love our brothers? Because he says we're to love our brethren. And if you go to churches, you'll discover that they are all different nationalities, all different ages, all different backgrounds, and yet there's if it's a true group of believers, there's fellowship there that's unmarked. I listened to Nikki Haley talk this last week. Nikki Haley's a believer. And I don't know how strong she is in her walk with the Lord, but she was governor of South Carolina, and there was a small Baptist church where they were meeting, and I believe there was either 9 or 14 people at the prayer meeting on a Wednesday night, and a young man came in, and he didn't look like them, and I believe it was a black Baptist church too. He came in and he didn't look like them, but they didn't ask him to leave. They didn't call the police. But they had him sit down with them, and they spent an hour talking to him and praying with him and sharing with him. And as the people were going to pray with him one last time, he pulled out a gun and began to shoot them. And he killed, I forget how many he killed, I think it was about half the people that were there ended up dying. And as Nikki Haley was sharing this, she shared something that was so different about these people. She said the news media came in and they wanted to make it about race. They wanted to make it about guns. They wanted to make it about all of these horrible things. But she said she had gone to every one of the funerals, and she talked to every one of the families, and she talked to every one of the victims and visited those that were living in the hospital. And she talked about one woman that was an elderly woman and had been praying for the young man and was the oldest one there. She talked about a young girl that had just graduated from college and was looking forward to her first job. She talked about another young boy that stood in front of one of the older women and told the young man as he raised the gun to point it at him, "You don't have to do this. The Lord loves you." And she said, but the most amazing thing that she saw was when that man that had done the shooting was brought before the judge and was tried, all those people that were living from that group of believers and the families of those that had died were at the courthouse, and they went up to him one after the other saying, "We forgive you. We forgive you." How could they do that? I believe they were real believers. That's how you can do it. Because as it says here, Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. They believed Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One. And it transformed their lives. Nikki said she'd never been moved like she was moved by that. She said she'd go home from her job and she said she was weeping. And she'd go back to work and she'd plow through the day. And she'd try, and then she said when other events, she found herself trying to protect everybody. And she had to go and she sat down and had to talk to people and talk it through that. But she said she drew tremendous strength from those people. You know, our country needs their attitude and their heart because it came from the Lord. How do we know we're a Christian? When we can forgive our enemies and pray for those who would despitefully use us. And that's what they've done. She said the amazing thing is that South Carolina, it could have been so different for the state had these people not been people of faith. And I look at that in comparison to many of the other situations that have happened. The Bible's true. We have a foundation and a strength that the world knows nothing about. And everyone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ should be filled with thanksgiving. Because we know Jesus. And He is the Anointed One. And that's a mark of our faith. It's a mark of our faith that we believe that Christ is God come in the flesh, the Son of God, that came to take away the sins of the world. The first mark of our faith. You know, you can't be a Christian if you believe that Jesus is anything else. There are people that attend churches and they've made Jesus into a different Jesus. Maybe He's a good social activist. No, He was the Son of God. Maybe He's a good storyteller. No, He's the Son of God. Maybe He was a prophet. No, He's the Son of God. And apart from being the Son of God, you and I would not be sitting here. But it's because of Him we're here tonight. So the first thing and mark of our faith is the fact that Jesus came, that He was the anointed Christ, the Anointed One, the One who came as God in the flesh, the One who had been promised by the prophets of old, not only to the nation of Israel, but to the whole world. And may we proclaim His birth to the whole world. And that He is the Son of God. That He is born of God. The second thing is, and everyone that loveth Him. The mark of love for Him. We talked a little bit about this on Sunday in the afternoon service. I gave you six marks of love very quickly. As we're going through and looking at loving the Lord and what are six marks of love and how they should impact our life as Christians and what are things that we should be doing as Christians if they really love the Lord. We cannot judge people's hearts, but Jesus said you shall know them by your fruit. It's very disturbing when you see that the main focus of many people that proclaim and profess the name of Christ today is what's in it for me. How am I entertained? How do I get an emotional high? How can I be recognized instead of showing our love for the Lord? The Bible tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. What made David a man after God's own heart? If you look at the life of David, he was not perfect. We know that he was a sinner. But the thing that made David so different from many other within the nation of Israel, he truly loved the Lord. And when it would be brought to his attention about who would receive the glory and who should receive the praise, it was the Lord. Not him. Not David. And it was about God. You know, when you read his Psalms, in his Psalms you see that David was like us. He had problems. He had sins. He had troubles. He had sickness. He had worries. But he'd always take them to the Lord, and his focus would go from being upon himself and all that was happening to him to the Lord, and realizing that the Lord was greater than any of his difficulties. It was greater than his sins. It was greater than his enemies. It was greater than his problems. It was greater than his issues with the things of this world. Because the Lord was the King of Kings and the owner of a cattle on a thousand hills and the one who had created all things and the one that was worthy of our praise. And the amazing thing about David's Psalms is he always, in just about every one of his Psalms that he wrote, ends up praising God because of his love for the Lord. That was why David had a heart after God, God's own heart. He had the love of God in his heart. May we have the love of God in our heart. Do people see in our lives God's love because we love him? The second mark of our faith should be the depth of our love for the Lord. For everyone that loveth God loveth him that begat. Now, what is John talking about here? Everyone that loveth him, loveth him that begat. And then he says, loveth him also that is begotten of him. In other words, everyone that is begotten of God, everyone that's a Christian, everyone that has faith and belief, loves the Lord, and he loves the Lord, and if we love the Lord, we love the Lord, we love those that the Lord has given birth to, are the ones that are Christians. He's answering his question from the end of the previous chapter, not his question, but his statement. Why do we love our fellow believers? Because they are begotten of God. And if we love God, we love them. So the third thing that's a mark of our faith is our attitude towards our fellow Christians, that it should be one of love and compassion and concern. And Paul, in his letters to the church, is constantly exhorting Christians to be concerned and to help one another, to encourage one another, to exhort one another, and to also, when we begin to go astray, to help one another to turn back and get on the right path because of the depth of our love one for another. The third thing. And finally, the fourth thing, which really, if one looks at what's happening in much of Christianity today as well as the world, you need to look at it. It says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God. And how do we know that we love God and keep his commandments? And then John gives us the definition of our love for the Lord. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. In other words, we walk according to his word and according to his will and according to his ways. And that's a mark of our love. You know, if we really love our parents, and our parents tell us to do something, we're going to do it because we love them, Not because they hold a giant club over our head and make us do it. And if we do it because we love them, not only will there be much joy in the act of doing it, but they'll appreciate it much more than if we're doing it with a disgruntled and a I've got to do it attitude. And if that's true on the human level, how much more is it true on the level with the Lord? We don't obey His word because we know that He's going to be our judge. No, we obey His word because He's our Savior. Because He's redeemed us. And we walk in obedience to His will because of what He's done for us. And what should our attitude be when we do these things? He says in the next portion of that verse, and His commandments are not grievous. Now, grievous is a word that means burdensome. It's a word that means even something heavier than a burden. It means something that you don't really want to do. That's grievous. It's something that grieves you when you have to do it. It's a great burden to do it, but that shouldn't be your attitude when we're working, when we're doing the things of the Lord. You know, how can you, you know, you think of people that, that little old man in Australia I shared with you before, I've shared a couple times before, but I just stop and think about him telling the Lord, I want to give at least 10 tracts out a day for the rest of my life because I want people to know about you. I don't think it was a burden for him to do that. I think he did it because he loved the Lord, because what Jesus had done in his life, he turned and changed him totally around, and he wanted others to know about it. I can think of people that I've known that have had such a joy in the Lord, and they're willing to do whatever God, to talk to people that God, you know, I think of Mark Cahill. I know that there's probably some days that Mark doesn't just wait for to share with the gospel with people, but I think those days are far and few between because it's not grievous for him. It's not a burden for him to talk to people about the Lord. He does it because he's got the love of Jesus in his heart and he obeys the things that God calls him to do. So in closing, four things we know about the fact that Jesus is the Lord. He is the Son of God, the Anointed One. We have a love for God. We have a love for our fellow believers. And we seek to obey God's commands. And these are marks of our faith. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to understand the truth of these verses and speak to us. Through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you want to just take a couple minutes. There's a,